to talk about women. And the sermon series is, I Can't Be That Kind of Woman. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about next week, but I'll give you a little recap on it this week, is that everybody on Mother's Day preaches out of Proverbs 31, how to be the noble woman of character, right? Okay, I got to tell you, you can't get there from here, okay? And if you really read that, go back to the first, that was a letter actually written to a king by his mother. So the whole thing's kind of been taken. Are you willing? Okay. Now, this message is not for everybody. It is only for those people, that small little group of people in this room today that have done stupid things in their life. Okay? So it's just for that small percentage of us that have done the dumb things in our life. It's not for everybody. It's just for that small group. All right? So if you're a part of that small group that has done some dumb things in your life, some stupid things in your life, then candidly, that message is truly for you. Here, nothing happens by coincidence. Nothing happens by happenstance, because our God always has a purpose and he always has a plan. Now, you have to be willing to go to the well. Sometimes you're going to be forced by God to go to the well. But sometimes it takes us to get to the well before we're willing to listen to what God has for you. Sometimes you get it. Now, if you would, if I turn sideways, do not put that up, okay? All right. Lord, that is scary. That was a salvation experience. That scared the hell out of me. All right. Now, John, I understand what you mean. I need a Lord. Woo! Okay. My back doesn't hurt at all no more. Okay. Look at John 4:4 through 6. It's a conversation that Jesus is having with go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria, and it was called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Okay? Now here's the thing, that didn't happen by coincidence. Look at the specifics. Through Samaria, to a town called Sychar, to a plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. That didn't happen by happenstance. Jacob's well was because he had been on a journey. And the word tired in the Greek means that you are weary to the point of sickness. He is war. Did I get it right? Okay. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said, "Will you give me a drink?" Now here's what I want you to understand, is that his disciples had gone to the grocery store. Now, we've always asked the question, if you're from A&M, don't get your feelings hurt when I say this. But we've always talked about how many Aggies does it take to change a light bulb? And it's 3. 2 to hold the ladder and 1 to undo the light bulb. Grocery store, and apparently 12. Because they all went to the grocery store. Now, I don't know what they're getting, and I don't know what they're arguing about at the grocery store. Maybe it's about what chips are going to get, or I don't want those dips. I'd rather have this. But they're not here because Jesus sent them off, okay? Now, it says when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, what's important is the term the Samaritan woman. Now, the woman said, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." Now, we don't know a lot about this woman. But what we do know is that Samaritan and Jews didn't get along. And here, and she said, could I get a drink? She might have said, get your own drink. I'm a Samaritan woman, you're a Jew, and I don't like you. Go get your own drink. And the problem that we have is that there's a lot of people in this room today have questionable past. We're all not white lace and fancy free. We've all made mistakes in our life, and we've all got an attitude from time to time. You don't ask me, I mean, just said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you the living water. Anytime that we get in a situation, you have to be careful because the Lord is dealing with you. I don't like being in the place that I currently am. And Pam said it's sufficient. And God's grace is sufficient. Life is difficult. And life doesn't work out. And if you knew the gift of God, he said, then you would ask for a drink. And then he said, you would have already asked. If you knew who I am. And what I'm going to give you is something that's eternal and not something that is truly temporal in your life. Amen. Amen. Now, look at what the woman says. You've got no deep well. Where can you get this living water? And look at what she begins to say. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? See, one of the challenges in the midst of this is that she's beginning to change direction. She wants to change the topic. Us, in a very spiritual way, we too want to change the subject because it makes us trying to, when approached with the spiritual things of life, people have a tendency to change the subject or they get angry. And sometimes it will take us to go to the well to hear the truth. And then you're going to have a choice. Either you will embrace the truth or you will deny the truth. But here's the key. Let's say that sometimes till we get so low, we will never look up. And God wants to take us to that place so that the only thing that we have in our life is Him. Is it a comfortable place to be? No. But sometimes He's going to go, I want you here so that you would be in a position, and I'm going to mold you and I'm going to make you who I want you to be. All I know come Sunday that I ain't looking. It's better to live on a corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. So there. No. If anybody got a free room after a while, let me know because I'll probably need it. But here's what I want you to think about. Here is a woman who is truly struggling. Okay? There's a lot of women and inside, you're a mess. Well, as a husband, we should have a discerning spirit. Sometimes we do not.
Amen.
I knew one day that Pam was not where she felt she needed to be. We walking in the mall. And I went, wow, look at that shirt. Isn't that pretty? No. Walked a little bit farther, go, wow, and saw some shoes. I meant, those are fine, baby. No, they're ugly too. I'm like, what in the world? And then finally, it's like the light comes on. It's like, shut up. Next week. And it is better. Scripture says to live on that little corner of the roof. Now, when I looked at my picture up there, my corner needs to be a little bit bigger. But it is better to live on the corner of the roof than with a woman who has lost it. Well, Solomon even says it this way. It is better to live in the desert. Now, I told you it wasn't for everybody. It's only for that select few in here that's done stupid stuff, okay? But think about what Solomon just said. Guys, it's better sometimes for you and me to go to the desert, to live amongst the scorpions and the snakes and the sandstorms and the camels, than to live with a wife that is quarrelsome and a wife that is ill-tempered. So guys, food for thought. If mama ain't happy, so when guys go, yeah, I'm gonna go home and tell her, I'm like, yeah, go ahead on. You better find the corner of the roof or get you a ticket. Okay, all right. All right. John, Jesus begins to talk. And it says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Now, again, Jesus knows that there's a woman that is in trouble. He knows that the woman needs something that she can't get by herself. And he says, but whoever drinks the water I give them, they're never going to thirst. And what is important for you and me is that's going to help you and me. What you and I need to get is that which only comes from God above. And it says, indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring water welling up to eternal life. You know, I joke about Pam and I, but I'm telling you, she has the gift of faith. And even when I go to the hospitals, which I don't want to go and don't like to go, I have married a woman of faith, okay? Amen. You where and when you at your or when and where you are at your greatest point of need. Even if he has to take you to the well. But one of the great things about it is that he will always meet you with the word. Now look at what he says again. Now again, here's a woman who's going through some tough times. And he says, everyone who drinks this water is going to be thirsty again. She's looking at things in the natural. God wants you and I, we are supernatural individuals. The greatest challenge that we have is not to look at the situation as it is, but as the situation will be according to the word of God. But he says again, he says, but whoever drinks the water that I give him, he will never thirst again. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water. And that's what the world needs today. See, the world needs to see Jesus. But Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father, and it is important for us to have that living water in our life. Now, John 14 and 15, concept or no clue about the water that he was talking about. And she said, so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here to draw water. Now look at what he told her. She's confused. He says, okay, go back if you don't mind and call your husband and come back. Now, in verse 15, she says, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five. And then he reiterated it. He said, what you said is 100% absolutely true. Now again, the woman wants something for nothing. She's looking at water. She's looking at something to drink. And the Lord is telling her, what I'm going to give you is living water. And if you drink the living water, it will change your life. It will bubble up through you. You will have the joy and the peace and the patience, all the things that God said that you and I could have. She doesn't understand that. We can read the book, but we don't understand the premise behind the passage. Brings me to point number five. For him. Now think about this. Here's a woman. She's a Samaritan. Jesus is there on purpose. He does something out of the ordinary, but he asks a Samaritan woman, could you get me a drink? We know that she's got an attitude. And I am sure that she sits and says, who do you think I am? I am a Samaritan woman and you're a Jew. I don't want anything to do with you. Jesus said, but if you'll drink the water that I give you, you will have eternal life. And you will never have to thirst again. And I'm sure about this time, that woman's brain is going in circles. She's like, how in the world? I don't understand. How come he knows so much about me? But you see, he knows. But the condition is he wants you to know. And he will take you to the well so that he will put you in a position, and it is not a good place to be. We will paint pictures about ourselves that are not true. People come in this church on Sunday and you're lying to everybody else because your life is a mess. Think the Lord doesn't know that your life is in a mess? But sometimes he will take us to the well because he knows, but he wants you to see where you actually are. And sometimes it's not a good place. In verse 19, he says, the woman said, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Have you ever tried to share Christ, the topic? You know, oh, I don't want to listen to that, or I'm not in a position for that, or, you know, we teased last Wednesday, I shared Christ with a person who was Catholic, and they said, is that my Bible? And I went, no, this is my Bible. And they went, no, is that my Bible? And I went, no, this is my Bible. But bottom line, what they were trying to go is that's not the Catholic Bible. So I said, would you give me an opportunity to come back tomorrow? And they said, sure. So I went and bought a Catholic Bible. I only prayed to receive Christ. But see, the key is, amen. But sometimes God, not God, but sometimes comfortable. And Cindy took us to Easter, third church years ago, took Pam and I absolutely 100% outside our comfort zone. But I got to tell you that that's where God wants you to be, is outside your comfort zone, because that puts trust and faith in him. That makes it him and not you. Do you like it? No. Will you like it? I promise you that you won't. So he says, or she says, I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. There's a lot of things that we don't know. There's a lot of things that we're not comfortable with. But that's when you have to put trust in, or he puts you in a situation at work, or he puts you in a situation at home, or he puts you in a situation with a family member, because there is by happenstance. No. He put you there on purpose. Now that brings me to point six. You and I have to stop making excuses. You and I have to understand that God has brought all of us to the well for a reason. When I was a police officer, I thought money was the issue. So I quit and started a business. Made more money than we had ever had. Are not doing very good in our marriage at that time. And as I drove down Broadway, there was a Baptist church on the left-hand side, and something said, pull in, and I pulled in. And on that day, when I was at the bottom, I knew that money was not the answer. I knew that the job was not the answer. I knew that the booze was not the answer. But when God got me down over here, September 12, 1990, and that's the day that I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Stop. Christ was somebody recently, and they said, well, let me read the book first. And I said, you can read it all you want, but it won't make any sense to you till you understand and that you are reborn. I've had people go, well, I'm just not ready. Let me get my life right. And my statement to them is, how you doing so far with that move? See, God wants us to go to the well. And he wants us to discover him. That you have ever met him. But here's the travesty of the Christian church. There are people that are sitting in the church today that have been Christians for years, and there is no difference from where they are today than where they began 40 years ago. Amen. And I'm telling you that God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants us to change, and God will get your attention, and sometimes he will take you to the well to make it happen. You remember when you first came to meet the Lord? How excited you were? And the Bible tells us that the Lord says, you have forsaken Satan, does minds off of what is most important, and that is the Lord. Now in John 14 and 23, it says, yet a time is coming. But look at what he says then. And has now come. Church, the time is now. For the true worshiper will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. For they are the kind, Scripture says, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you are born again, you are not a natural individual. It is cold in here, and I agree with y'all. But deal with it. No. But the key with this is that if you are born again, you're the natural person that you used to be. So the scripture says that God is looking for people who are also. In John 8, it says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really one of my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Give God a hand clap of praise. But here, my granddaughter sent this to me, and it was on Facebook. But it says, but so are car rides and showers and coffee shops and the gym and conversations with your friends and even strangers. And then there's an exhortation at the bottom, don't let the building confine your faith. We will never change the world by going to church. We need to be the church. I said before that people are. Hey, Karen, can you get with Dwight and see if he can raise the temperature up, please? In John 4, Paul crying everything to us. And then Jesus makes this statement. Most of the time in Scripture, when Jesus would heal somebody, he would say, get up and go, but do not tell anybody about it. Now, here's what's so awesome. He tells the woman, I who speak to you am he. He told this low class, no class, lower crust, not respect anything else about her, but he revealed himself to her. And if Jesus will reveal himself to the lowest of the lowest, there is not a woman in this room, there is not a man in this room that Jesus would not reveal himself to you also. Amen. It says, then leaving her water jar. Sometimes we've got to leave where we are. But you're going to have to go. Because God says, if you're a true disciple, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. And back to the. Do you think that she's living in a ritzy part of town? No. Or do you think maybe she's living with her kind? Well, I think she's living with her kind. Okay? Been married 5 times, now living with a man who is not her husband. So the Bible says, come, she goes to the town, says, come, see a man who told me everything that I have ever done. Now, church, I don't know about you guys, but there's things in my closet. No. But on this day, the Lord sat down and said, let me tell you something, woman. I know that you don't have a husband right now. Now, what's funny about this woman, she had something. Either she was extremely attractive or she had a lot of money, a nice home. I don't know what she had, but she had 5 husbands, and none of them lasted. And now she's working on number 6. And the Lord sat down and said, woman, let me tell you something. You were married to John, and he's going through the whole list. And she's like, how does he know? Because he is God. How does he know? How many times when we are down and out, and we look up, could we honestly look deep inside to go, is this Christ that's talking to me? And then that verse says they came out of the town and they made their way toward him. Now here's what is so awesome, and it's the last point of this message. The change, or to change your life, is more than just seeing or hearing. A lot of stuff recently. Seeing and hearing didn't count. In John 4:42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen. See, what you and I need more than ever is an experience. And our Lord is willing to give you an experience. To watch the guys, not that I could do it, I was teasing Mike a minute ago. I love when everybody was dancing up here on stage. I said, Mike, if I start dancing in fall, will you get me up? See, church, see, you can praise God at church. But if this is the only place that you praise God, then it's no good. You need to take your praise with you when you leave out of this building, when you drive home and you listen to your radio. I got it in my little Jeep, Hezekiah, when he talks about praise. Oh, I got to listen to it because I want to praise the Lord going home. But you see, you can praise God in the shower for two reasons. There's a curtain and no one can. You can praise God in the grocery store. You can praise God at the mall. You can praise God on the corner street. You can praise God no matter where you are, but he's going to take you to the well so that you know you need. And when you know you need, you're going to lift your hands up high and you're going to praise God because he's the answer to every problem that you and I have in our life. True change only happens with the risen Lord. Because it's a life of continuous change.